my gosh, let's give it up for these guys. My word. How awesome was that? Man, amazing. Well, hey, man, you know, I think we connect with those lyrics, right? Here I go again, walking down the lonely road, searching for answers, still haven't found what I'm looking for. Man, I tell you what, I think we can all relate to that in terms of what we've been experiencing over the last 17 months. And so, man, we're excited you're here. We're going to be talking about how do we find that sense of belonging. My name's Kurt. If we haven't had a chance to meet, and if you're here for the first time, man, we've got free movie tickets for you. It's awesome. It's so good to have you with us. And if you're tuning in online, it's so good to have you join us from wherever you may be tuning in from this weekend. And today we're looking at this movie, Snake Eyes, G.I. Joe Origins. And this is why I love this series, because this is a movie I would have never in my life saw if we weren't doing this series, because we're like, you know, what are the big movies out? And I tell you what, it was actually pretty redemptive. There were some really cool pieces in it. And we look at the fibers of faith. We look at some of the spiritual questions that these movies raise. And we use those, as we're going to do this weekend, as a launching off point for some deeper conversation. And so this is G.I. Joe's story, this whole idea of finding a place to belong. His story begins when he is orphaned as a young boy. His father is assassinated. And so G.I. Joe, he kind of commits his whole life to being trained as this intense, talented martial art fighter. And his whole purpose is to try to avenge his father's death. And so he kind of plans his life around trying to find the person who killed his father. And let's be honest, he creates a lot of pain in his life, a lot of pain in other people's lives, because hurt people, when people are hurt, they hurt people. And so this is kind of the story of what his life is looking like, and he comes to major moments where he has to decide if he's going to continue to do that or if he's going to use his strength for good, and he's looking for the sense of belonging. He grew up as an orphan. He doesn't really have a past because he was kind of grown up off the radar. And he has this moment where he interacts with one of his like pseudo-partners in the film, a guy by the name of Tommy, and he says to him this powerful line. You saw it in the trailer right there. He said, "I can't give you a name or a past, but I can offer you a purpose and something better. I can give you a home and give you a place of belonging." And I think that's what we all long for. And this is kind of where our lives intersect with this film. In fact, Brené Brown, one of my favorite authors, she said it this way. She said, "Belonging is the innate human desire to be part of something larger than us. Because this yearning is so primal, we often try to acquire it by fitting in, by seeking approval, which are not only hollow substitutes for belonging, but often barriers to it." And then she goes on, and she says, "Because true belonging only happens when we present our authentic, imperfect selves to the world, our sense of belonging can never be greater than our level of self-acceptance." You know, this is interesting, because what she says right here is you cannot belong to something until you belong to yourself. And let's be honest, man, I think one of the things the pandemic's done for every single one of us is it's caused us to question our confidence. It's caused us to question the belonging that we have. Where do we connect? Where do we have a sense of purpose, meaning the things that we engage with in our community? Even places like this where, you know, we may have been tied in deeper at one point. Now, like, man, I just don't know where I belong. And Brené Brown, she says, we long for this. And so today, I'm going to do my absolute best effort to try to help you see and us see that this is a place where you can belong. This is a place where you can find that belonging. Now, this happens way more than sitting in this room. It happens way more than sitting behind a piece of glass or speaking into a piece of glass through a screen. And we've said this all the way back to Crosspoint's origins when we began in March of 2007. We said, you know, Crosspoint's way bigger than just 65 minutes in an auditorium, 70 minutes in a space like this or tuning into a space like this. And so I want to kind of, it's not that what happens here isn't important, it's just that belonging doesn't happen in this space. And so I want to give us kind of a quick behind-the-scenes look at we call these the big three. These are the big three things that drive this place, but they also are connected to places where we experience that belonging. And so these are three hills. We call them hills. They're values, and these kind of set the course for what we do and what we experience in this place. And it helps us belong, but it also helps us know, okay, how do I know when I'm a part of this thing? So the first hill is this, it's simply to love God. In fact, God wants us to love him. He created us for that, and he runs after us and loves us. In fact, he runs after us, he pursues us, he chases us down, not to punish us, not to strike us down, as some of us might think, but he does it simply because he loves us and because he wants a restored relationship with us. In fact, Jesus at one point was asked the question. They said, you know, Jesus, if you could sum up all the laws and the prophets in one statement, what would it be? The religious leaders were trying to trick him. He said, well, how about this one? Why don't you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? And in that moment, he established this idea that this is the most important thing. Now, the environment that we create to help us cultivate that is this environment right here. It's the weekend services. It's weekend kids environments. It's CSM during the week. It's that gathering where we get built into, where we explore the character of God, the things God calls us to. We experience the hope of God. But I'm going to be honest, the weekend service is not church, right? It's a service, but this isn't where we gain belonging. This isn't where we gain community. This is where we're taught the ways of Jesus. This is as you hear us say all the time, when we follow the ways that Jesus calls us to follow, when we follow him, our lives are better, and we find that we're so much better at life. This is where we're encouraged. It's where we experience hope and reminded that God has a hope and a future for us. But let me say, if the entirety of our coming and engaging is right here in this space only, or through this lens or this screen only, I'm going to tell you, that's a good starting point. And so if you're here for the first time, we say, try us out for 3, 4, 5 weeks to see if something lands with you. But this is not belonging. And it will sustain for a bit. And you'll be like, oh, this is cool. I'm growing. I'm experiencing new things. But eventually, you're going to find yourself longing for more. Which leads us to the second hill, which not only said, I want you to love God, but the next thing Jesus said is, I want you to be about loving others. I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. So our second hill, or our second value, is to simply love others. In fact, we would even say that perhaps the way you show a love for God is in how you love others. And not in a way of like earning our way to God, not in performing to try to earn God's pleasure, but simply because of God's great generosity for us, how can we reflect that back to the people we encounter in the world? And Crosspoint, just like nearly every church, has a built-in mechanism for this, and the arena for this is what we call our volunteering environments or our serving environments. And I'm going to be honest, over the last 17 months, this is one of the environments that's kind of been interrupted. I mean, there's been very, very few ways to serve corporately here. I mean, you've been serving out in the community in many ways, but to be a part of the mission and tied in right here to this place, we had many of our serving opportunities kind of pushed aside because COVID isolated us, and we had some of our ministries put on pause for a while, at least in person. And so it's changed our rhythms, and that's just a reality. And I think many of us probably feel a bit disconnected from that. We don't feel that belonging, like we're a part of what's happening out of here, because we're not tied into it. We're not a part of helping make it happen. And in a sense, we've just kind of become casual observers, at least in this space. And then the third hill of the big three is what we call life together. And life together is just this innate need that we have to be in community together. In fact, one of the first times in the Bible that we hear God say something is not good in the world, it's where he says it is not good that man is alone. And I think over the last year, we've discovered that it's not good to be alone. It's not good to be isolated. It's not good when we are losing connection with people. And I think we've discovered that community is more important than maybe we ever realized before. And this is why Brené Brown says we have to be in that place where we can be our authentic, imperfect selves in the world. And so our arena for this here is the small group environment. It's the place where we form spiritual friendships. Now, why are these three so important? We call them the big three, because I want you to look at this image right here, the crossover where all three of these circles converge, and there's this little place where they cross over. We call that the sweet spot right there. Because see, we believe that when you're engaged in this environment, in the weekend experience, when you're engaged in small groups and community spiritual friendships, and when your life is being used to impact and serve and be selfless toward others, man, you are in a place where you're growing. You're in a place where God is using you and filling you up because you're emptying yourself out. And so if we just connect in this environment, which for many of us, this has been the environment we've been able to connect with or through the lens because we've been at home. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a moment where you're going to get a sense of, gosh, I'm looking for more. I feel like there's more that I want. I want a little more of God in my life. Man, I just feel like I need something more beyond what I'm experiencing. And whenever I hear that question from someone or somebody says, hey, how do I do that? My first question back to them is, what group are you in and what team are you serving on? And then they'll say, no, Kurt, I don't mean that. I want more of God. I want to experience more of his fullness. And I'll go, okay, let me ask you again. What group are you in and what team are you serving on? In fact, some of you right now, you might even be feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling like I'm longing for more, and I don't know exactly what that longing is. And maybe when you first came to Crosspoint a number of months ago or years ago, you're like, it met me exactly where I am, but now I'm looking for something more. Think of it this way.
It's kind of like an infant. Think about an infant, a physical infant. I mean, when you have a baby, what's that baby do? All it wants is more, 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 right? It's gimme, gimme, gimme. It's like, oh, remember, they're rooting, they want to eat. They're like, feed me, feed me, feed me. And that mother is a feeding station, right? I mean, it's feeding that child. She's feeding that child all the time. And basically, the role of the parents is just nurse that child, take care of that child, change it, give it what it needs, kind of raise it up, help it, you know, begin to strengthen. But as that child grows and begins to become an elementary student, for instance, that child no longer just needs to be fed, but it needs to become a part of contributing to the family. It needs to have the sense of not only having its needs met, but using its own sense of belonging and purpose to help create the belonging within the family experience. And see, the same is true when it comes to our spiritual growth. See, we can't just be receiving and be a consumer. We get to a place where we're going to feel like, gosh, I need more. And the thing that we need more of is to begin to take what we've experienced and help others experience what we've experienced. I don't know if you've been intrigued like me by this kind of space exploration battle that's been going on over the last month. You know, SpaceX and Blue Origin and the Virgin Galactic. I mean, these three guys that are kind of trying to help like normal Americans like you and I get to space. How cool would that be? This reminded me of, you know, when Neil Armstrong, my word, talk about a guy who like forged history, right? Neil Armstrong, when he landed Apollo 11 on the moon. I wasn't alive at that time. It was 3 years before I was born. But there's a book called Team Moon, and it just amazingly talks about what it took to make that happen. Get this, it took 400,000 individuals to put Apollo 11 on the moon. Think about that. 400,000 individuals. 400,000. It took seamstresses sewing 22 layers of fabric together to make the spacesuits. It took, you know, like engineers creating this space shield, this heat shield, so the astronauts didn't burn up. It took, you know, planners, and it took, technicians. It took telescope operators. I mean, it just took all kinds of individual suit testers, all of these people, 400,000. And it just reminded me that every great endeavor requires a great team. And every great team has a cause. Now, when it comes to church, you know, some churches are like all happy clappy and woo, you know, we're gonna just worship and, you know, get caught up in that moment, which is totally fine. Some churches are like, man, we're gonna experience deep Bible teaching, which, you know, that's cool. Sure, let's come together and understand the Bible. We do that. Let's sing together. We do that. But those are not the things that God calls us to. All right, those are like internal mechanisms to keep us strong, to help us experience God. But see, here at Crosspoint, we have a cause, and it's basically we want to do whatever it takes, short of sinning. Every now and then we may cross the line a bit, but we really try to do it short of sinning to help people find their way to God. We want to do whatever it takes to help people who don't have it all together experience that this is a place where they can be their imperfect selves and see that there's a God who runs after them, who wants to know them, who wants to love them, who invites them into his purpose and his mission, and he wants you to help others experience the very same thing. And why do we do this? Well, this is what Jesus was about. See, there was something Jesus was going after. He was helping people experience the kingdom of God. And we're trying to run after the same thing. In fact, take a look at Jesus' mission statement right here. Jesus kind of laid out his mission. He said, hey, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is in Luke 4. And he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty, meaning to free those who are oppressed, who are oppressed by addictions, by patterns in their lives that are keeping them from becoming the full version of who God created them to be, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And so note, Jesus is doing active things right here, right? He's proclaiming, he's sending, he's going, he's setting people free. These are not passive words. These are not internal reflective behaviors. These are like get up and get her done, and there's work required. Like I have to, you know, exert energy to make these things happen. And so one of the things I think all of us have experienced is we've been in a pandemic where, you know, our engagement opportunities, specifically when it comes to this kind of space, they've been put on pause in many ways, and we're filling it. And we've kind of settled into a bit of a passive mode. And I get it to some degree, but at the same time, I'm like, man, when we begin to think that church is all about, let me just come and get, I mean, I don't know where we get that idea. We certainly don't get it from Jesus. Then we actually just become passive. So today, we're gonna change that this weekend. All right, there's a cause that God enlists us into, and I want us to see what that is. So here's what we're going to do. I could wax on eloquently, or you might not think I'm all that eloquent for the next 20 minutes. But instead of doing that, I want to show us how you can establish a sense of belonging around here. And so I'm going to take us on a tour of ways that you can engage around here. And those of you online, you're going to go on this tour with us. It's going to be a virtual tour. And those of you in the room, you're going to experience this from your seats right here. And as we go on this tour, I'm just going to show you ways that you can be a part of what happens. You can be a part of the teams that happen around here. You can experience and join the cause. And I'm going to tell you something. This is where we begin to discover belonging. Now, before we do this, there's five types of people in the room, five types of people that are watching us online right now. And number one, there are those of us who are currently volunteering, who are currently serving on a team here at Crossville. Let's just say thanks to those people who make that happen each and every week. Man, you guys are rock stars. Number two, there's people who used to volunteer. Maybe you, before the pandemic, you were engaged and the pandemic kind of isolated you and you've become unengaged. We get it. It's part of what we did as a part of loving our communities. We created different patterns. So no shame, no guilt there. But today is a day where you're going to have the opportunity to re-engage. Number three, there's those of us who want to volunteer. You're like, man, I want to be a part of this place. I'm looking for a place to belong. I'm looking for a place to plug in and be a part of something, but I just don't know how to make it happen. Well, today's going to be a good day for you. Number four, there's people who just are like, I don't want to volunteer. I don't want to be a part of it. And I'm not going to really spend much time with you because I really can't change your mind. I hope God changes your mind, but it's going to be a waste of my time. And then five, there's still some of us here who are maybe checking us out here at Cross Point for the first time. Maybe you're here as a guest. Somebody invited you. And so this is like for you to observe if you're a guest with us. Really, the best thing for you is just be here for a few weeks. And then, you know, after you say, hey, I want to be here, then we want to help you get engaged. But you certainly can choose to engage as a result of your time here if you want. All right, now the details. I want to talk about how we're going to maximize this experience over the next few minutes. In fact, if you don't have it in your hands, I want you to go ahead and take out your device. And if you have not yet completed the connection card, it's going to be dropping into the chat right now. So go ahead and just fill that out with kind of the simple logistics, your name, an email address, maybe the best phone number for you to be contacted at. And I want you to hold your device in your hand over the next 15 or 20 minutes as we take a tour virtually around the many ways that you can be a part of teams right here at Crosspoint. And here's what I want you to do. As you're watching from your living room or the coffee shop or wherever you may be, anytime you see a place or a role or someone doing something and you go, oh my gosh, I could do that, I just want you to put a check mark next to that on the form. All right, and you can put as many check marks on that form as you want, and then we're going to come back to that later and we're going to kind of reduce that back and identify one area where you might be able to join a team here at Crosspoint. And when you do that, you begin to create a deeper sense of belonging because God is using you as a part of something bigger than your life. All right, you guys ready? All right, so keep that device in your hand and let's take a look at what happens in our kids and student environments right here at the Crosspoint campus.
You may have noticed we have a lot of kids and we think that's awesome. In fact, one of the questions we often ask is what's the faith of the next generation worth? It's worth a lot to us, which is why kids and student environments are so important around here.
While we've made some changes in response to the pandemic, our goal, as always, is to guarantee a safe and quality experience for everybody, both kids and volunteers, while making this place a fun environment for your kids to learn about Jesus with their friends. Do you like babies? Do you like holding babies? If you said yes to both of these questions, then the nursery environment is for you. Just holding, rocking, and playing with our littlest people at Crosspoint with infants up to 2 years old. And if they start crying, rest easy because you'll get to give them back to their parents after the service. If you like kids with a little more talking and walking, then you can try hanging out with the toddlers and preschoolers. Whether as a class host who guides the kids through learning experiences, the media presentations of a Bible story, to the co-leader who helps with the activities and making the connection with God's plan for their lives. This is a fun and meaningful environment, and you're sure to be a hit with these kids. Upstreet is for kids kindergarten through fourth grade. And like every environment at Crosspoint, Upstreet believes coming to church should be fun. Upstreet has a number of ways to volunteer with virtually a role for every personality type. You can be an Upstreet host, kind of like a master of ceremonies, where you guide the kids through the Upstreet experience from the stage. From introducing the story and music to making connections and helping kids discover God's plan for their lives and that they too can know and follow Jesus. Or you can be a small group leader. This person's role is to connect with a small group of students and through interactive experiences, helping them to discover that following Jesus and his ways is one of the best ways to live. And if you love being around kids, but are more of a behind the scenes type, you can assist your fellow leaders by running the technical aspects like music, graphics, and videos for the Upstreet experience.
I knew that I wanted to volunteer, and I was doing Coffee Bar. I loved Coffee Bar with Angelo for about a year, year and a half. And I went to Africa and spent some time with the kids there. And it was really fun to be a big kid. And everybody was like, what do you do at church again? You do Coffee Bar? Maybe we need to get you in with the kids. I'm a big kid myself, so it was a seamless transition. And I really get fulfilled from it. Biggest reason that I'm involved with volunteering in the kids' environment in Upstreet is just the need to give back. The community is only as strong as those that are in it and that are willing to do the work. And with kids, especially for me, it's my passion. It's our future. It's the community's future. So when I can put time in with them and really kind of build in and see what I'm doing is making a difference, it really is impactful for not only now and for me, but for the future.
Area 56 is an environment that bridges the gap between elementary and junior high for fifth and sixth graders, where you get to hang out with the cool kids. There are two roles in which you can serve. The Area 56 co-leader gets kids started with some kind of icebreaker before handing it off to the storyteller. After the story, the co-leader leads the student in a game or an activity that connects the students to God's plan for their lives. Then there's the storyteller. This person's role is to share the Bible story from the lesson and help the kids make connections and how they can apply that story to their lives. And of course, there's lots of fun, props, and opportunities for kids to interact and be part of the story. And then, the front door to our Crosspoint Kids environment is the Crosspoint Kids Welcome Team. These are friendly folks who welcome kids and their families each week. It's the first stop for kids and provides the knowledge for parents that their kids are in a safe and secure environment. Now, maybe teenagers are more your speed, or maybe you just want to escape adulting for a bit. Crosspoint Student Ministries may be just the place for you. CSM meets one night a week at the Crosspoint Launchpad for a time of connecting with friends, authentic small groups, and relevant teaching for students 7th through 12th grade. One of the most important roles at CSM is that of a small group leader. If you like authentic relationship and want to be a positive role model, we'd love to have you join the CSM team, where you have the opportunity to equipping students to successfully navigate junior high school and high school as well, and also help them to develop a faith of their own. In all our kids and student environments, you're provided with all the information and plans you need to be a rock star volunteer and help these kids grow in their faith and in their following of Jesus.
You know, the cool things that happens every week in our kids and student environments is we turn ordinary people just like you into change makers. That's what happens when you serve in kids. And whether it's holding babies or it's being a small group leader in toddler or preschool or Upstreet or Air 56, all the way up through senior high, I mean, we have small groups for every age group, or it's being a co-leader or it's running tech back in one of those environments. We give you the easy to follow scripts. I mean, you can be a hero. There's people that are like, man, I didn't even know some of the stories of the Bible, and this is where I learned them as I was on the floor with the kids. Now, why is this environment so important? Well, here's why. Consider this. Every year, we have 51 weeks to build into our kids. You say, 51? Well, we take the last week of the year off every single year. So we have 51 weeks that we're here to partner with parents in raising their kids spiritually. And just take a look at these numbers right here. I mean, when a child comes to us in the nursery, we have 936 weeks with that child till they turn 18 and go into adulthood. By the time they get to preschool, it's 728. A second grader through elementary, it's almost cut in half, 572. By the time they're a sixth grader, we've only got 364 weeks left. I've got a sixth grader in my home. She is 60% through her childhood by the time she hits sixth grade. As you can see, when they get to an eighth grader, 260. By the time they hit 12th grade, we're under 52 weeks to partner with parents in raising these kids. And so if you're a maximum impact kind of person, if you're the kind of person that's like, man, I want to be in a place where I know my life is going to make maximum impact, I'll tell you every single time it's going to be with kids and it's going to be with students. And you might say, well, I don't feel equipped. Man, I don't know that I can teach them. We're going to give you the resources, right? We're going to give you the tools to be a hero with these kids. And believe it or not, anybody can do it. All right, now, why do we say this is the place of biggest impact? Josh kind of said it right there in his video. I mean, I loved his story. He said, not only are you shaping these kids for today, but you are shaping the future change makers that are going to be leading our world in the next 15 or 20 years. And this isn't Sunday school anymore. It's sitting in small groups. It's helping them make spiritual connections. It's helping them experience God in fresh and new ways, running technology. And so if you saw something that you engage with there, and you're like, man, I could do that. I mean, then just put a check mark on this card, all right? If you're at home, just put a check mark in your app and just mark that, and we're going to hold that for later, and we'll do something with it later. Now, let's take a look now behind the curtain at what happens in this environment.
Now, the place at Crosspoint you might be most familiar with is the Crosspoint venue. And I'm outside the venue, which actually, even though I'm standing outside, I'm actually inside the venue because I'm on the screens inside the venue right now if you're watching this. But anyway, there are lots of opportunities to be a part of what happens in the venue, whether on stage or backstage. Let's take a look. The Crosspoint venue stage is the place to release your not-so-inner rock star. If you know how to play or sing, you might just be able to find yourself in the band. So how does this all work? Obviously, some experience and skill is needed, so we'll give you a chance to join us for a midweek audition during rehearsal and a follow-up with our creative director to discuss next steps.
I've been attending Crosspoint about 3 or 4 years now, and for the last 2 years, I've been volunteering with the band regularly, which has been such an amazing opportunity. You know, growing up, going to different churches, I'd always heard that everybody has a role that they can play in a church, and I never knew what mine was. I'd tried different things, and nothing ever made sense. And I don't know why I'd never put two and two together. I've played guitar since I was in high school. I love music, but I didn't think I was good enough to be in the band. I'd never been on a stage in my life. I was the traditional bedroom or basement guitar player. And then one day, having a conversation with Brad, he said, you know, I said something about the band, and he asked if I played, and I said I did, and he asked me to, you know, try out with the band sometime. I put it off for a while because I still didn't think that I was ready or qualified, and I'm so glad I finally did, because it's the greatest decision I've ever made, because now I get to, you know, do something I love that is so outside of anything else in my life. I've gotten involved in the church in a way that I've never been involved in before. I feel part of the community. I don't just come and sit in the seats and go home. It's something that, you know, follows me throughout the week. So it's, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Now, if you enjoy music and putting on a show, but your comfort level is more backstage and behind the scene, the tech and video team is the place for you. The Venue Tech team, through audio, visuals, and lights, plays a vital role in the weekend experience at Crosspoint. Everything from how the venue is lit to the music is mixed to visuals on the screen all play an important part in the Crosspoint experience, both in the room and online each week. Now, with the new addition of Crosspoint's online experiences, videographers play a vital role in capturing the weekend service. This takes place during the early weekend service, so if you have an eye for details and photography or video experience, behind the camera is a place where you can help create all the magic that happens in this place.
You know, one of the things I love about what happens in this, and really happens all over Crosspoint throughout all of our teams, is that about 85% of our people are normal workers, unpaid workers, volunteers. And these ordinary Joes, ordinary people who work a day job. I mean, I loved Cam's story right there. I mean, this is a guy who, he works in IT. He runs IT security systems, leads a team of 50, 60 individuals that make all of that happen. Those dudes aren't supposed to be emotional and creative, right? I mean, but this is the place where his inner rock star, that creativity gets to come out. But it's not for his own good. He gets to use that to be a blessing to other people. And as a result, he finds this immense sense of belonging. See, the cool thing that happens in this room and in this space and through the lens every single week is that this is the environment where we experience the transcendent. And I get emails at times, Facebook messages, people tuning in online, those of you who are sitting in the seats, and they'll say, man, there was just something that happened as a result of my time in this room. In fact, here's one email I received. Somebody said, I'm starting a new journey with Christ. This last year has been difficult for my family. It's been really been an awakening for me. And now I find myself depending on my relationship with Christ more and more, and he is serving as a rock in my life. I mean, every single person that's connected in the back, pushing dials and knobs and playing instruments and singing up here, I mean, that person's story is a part of their story. And so if you saw something on the screens, you're like, man, I could do that. I have some sound experience. I used to play an instrument. Or maybe you're a photographer and you just have an eye for, you know, a good shot. Man, our video team is a great place to land. I just want you to mark that on this card. Or if you're tuning in online at home, just mark that box in your app there on that form. And we will come back to that in a moment. Just mark that so you remember it. All right, let's take a look at our next environment. It's not just what happens here. It's not just what happens with the kids out in Crosspoint Kids, but a lot of this happens at the front door. So let's take a look at what happens there.
There's a saying, you only get one chance to make a first impression. And we agree with that. How you feel when you walk into Crosspoint or join us for an online service, it's a big deal to us. That's why our hospitality team is so important. So come take a look at the different ways you can serve on the hospitality team here at Crosspoint. We often hear how one of the main reasons people come back to Crosspoint is because of how they felt welcome from the moment they walked through the doors. That's why our hospitality team is so valuable. Likely the first person you encountered at Crosspoint was one of our friendly greeters. Beyond the smile and opening of a door, our greeting team is simply here to welcome those who are walking through our doors each and every weekend. At the venue, the greeting team also assists in answering questions and even helping individuals find a seat if helpful. If you enjoy making people feel welcome, love to smile, the greeting team is a great place for you. And with our new online campus, service hosts can volunteer from anywhere in the world, welcoming people and answering questions for those on the Crosspoint online service. If you're part of our online crowd, this may be the perfect team for you. Now, on to the team that keeps Crosspoint well caffeinated. And while the COVID pandemic put a pause on the coffee bar, it's coming back, people, and it's almost back. See, the coffee bar will be back late September. And let's be honest, there's nothing like a free great cup of coffee, and you don't have to become some fancy barista either. Whether you help serve coffee or brew it, the Coffee Bar team is another space that's simply here to help people feel more at home at Crosspoint, where we're changing the world one cup at a time.
You guys excited for the coffee bar to be back? I heard that. Oh my gosh. So exciting. Oh man, the critically important front door, right? Let me share another email with you. One young lady wrote, she said, I've been attending Crosspoint for a couple weeks now. I can't tell you how blessed I feel to have found you all. I've been looking for a church on and off since moving to Fisher's area a few years ago, and I have felt more at home here than I ever have before. But why does she feel at home? It's likely because of what she experiences when she walks in. See, there's something about people just genuinely being happy you're here. I mean, we're kind of like AA. I mean, we don't care when you show up. We don't care if it's 5 minutes before we're done. We're just glad you showed up. We greet you. I mean, it's just so good to see you because you never know what's going on the other side of that greeting. And why is that? Well, it's because it matters. It matters. Here's what I hope all of us can see. You know, I've stepped onto this stage over 400 times over the 7 years we've been in this building right here, probably over 800 times between now and we started across the street at Fall Creek Intermediate School. And it would be easy with just doing that week in, week out to go, you know what? Man, this week, I'm going to phone it in. I'm just going to kind of go through the motions because, you know, I'm tired. And yet I don't. And we don't. And let me tell you why we don't do that. Let me tell you why our volunteers and our leaders and our staff don't just phone it in when it seems like a convenient thing to do. Because see, while this is normal for me and while for our partners and regulars around here it's normal, when somebody walks through our doors for the very first time, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for hope. That's what they're looking for. I mean, they're looking for hope. There's likely some kind of tension, trouble, transition, and God knows there's been a lot of that in our lives over the last year and a half. They're looking for something they can build their life on, something they can grab onto that will help them see that, man, tomorrow can actually be better than today, that Jesus actually cares about what's going on in my life. In fact, I got an email one of the first weeks after we moved into this space 7 years ago from a lady who said, I've not walked in your building yet, but I've been in your parking lot for 4 weeks. She said, I show up at the end of your service every week, and I just sit out there, and I want to see people when they walk out, and I want to see if they're smiling and if they look encouraged. Because I want to go somewhere where there's hope. You know, as you looked at and saw some of these opportunities to serve on our front door team or with our new online service hosting or maybe a coffee bar is coming back, if you're like, you know, I could do that, just mark that on your card. Or if you're sitting at home and you used to be on one of these teams, you're thinking, man, I could do that. I could show up. I could greet. I could serve coffee. I can serve from home. Mark that on your form, and we're going to come back to that here in just a moment. Now, last thing I want to show you, in 5 weeks, we begin one of the most important things we do all year, and I want you to take a look at how this affects us. Take a look.
It took me a while to jump in, and I, you know, probably 4 or 5 years before I jumped into a small group. So what I didn't realize was what I was missing out on. And once I did jump in, I started having these conversations of substance, started connecting with people, with Crosspoint and with God in different ways. I couldn't believe, man, okay, why did it take you 4 or 5 years to step out of the boat, so to speak? So once I did that, I realized, okay, this isn't just a bunch of people sitting around dissecting scripture for an hour. We're actually having conversations of substance where we're going to a deeper level. You know, horseshoes are greater than circles because they always leave space. And so I think what you'll find in each of the small groups that whether you've created it or the other small groups that are available, I think you'll always find a circle that is always willing to create space. Have I gotten things out of my faith journey that I wouldn't have gotten out of if I had not been a part of a small group? Absolutely. But the other beautiful thing is I'm getting things out of my friendships and my extended family, my family of choice, so to speak. They're getting things out of these conversations that they wouldn't have gotten either, because they wouldn't have had the opportunity to have these conversations if we had not made the ask and said, hey, we'd love for you to be a part of this conversation. I think the biggest connect with small groups for me is really connecting to what God wants you to be running after. So I didn't realize that that's what small groups were about until I actually took a leap and jumped into one. And sometimes that takes somebody specifically asking you to do it as opposed to you just kind of jumping into one. So I guess the takeaway from that is there are people in this place that will not jump into a small group unless you ask them. So just would encourage you, if you see that person, if you've got somebody in your life, whether they're at Crosspoint or not, think about asking them to join you.
In 5 weeks, we begin one of the most important things we do all year. The All Church Journey. And I tell you, it's going to be one of the most immersive, some of the most creative weekends, some of the most transformational weekends that you will experience around here all year. And this year, it's a 49-day challenge, 7 weeks. We're gonna exert ourselves because we realize that if we want to be stronger in our families, in our faith, in the way that we engage in serving and loving people around us, we've got to train. You can't expect to be different if you don't do things to train yourself to operate differently. And I think the last year has shown us that, you know, man, when we went through difficult times, some of us, we weren't prepared. And we want to be prepared the next time. And so as Scott said, I mean, I love his phrase. I mean, it's not just getting out of rows and into circles, but it's horseshoes. Because see, you know, there's always a spot open for one more person in the circle. And this is often where we experience a deeper level of belonging. This is where we form spiritual friendships. And perhaps even as you heard Scott talk, I mean, maybe you're thinking, gosh, somebody did that for me. Somebody invited me into a space that they created. And maybe in that moment, you just felt God beginning to nudge your heart and say, you know, maybe you could create a space like this. I mean, maybe there's people in your life that short of you creating a space in a coffee shop at home, you know, on your back patio, virtually online, through an online group, there are people in your life that likely will not step into that transformational environment where they can be known, where they can grow, where they can be their authentic, imperfect selves. And so if you just felt nudged in that moment to say, hey, maybe you should create a space like that, I just want you to mark that on your card. Just mark that here on the bottom. If you're online, you got your form right there at the bottom of the form there on your device. And just mark that box. We'll train you. You have to start a discussion, end a discussion. We'll give you all the resources in order to lead the small group discussion. But I'm telling you, it could change not only your life, because when you lead, you always grow more than everyone else, but it'll likely transform someone else's. In the book of Philemon, he talks about this. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6 says this. He says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding. Get this, full understanding of all, of every good thing we have in Christ. In fact, another translation puts it this way. It says, I'm praying that you will put it into action. And so Philemon, he's saying, hey, I want you to put your faith into action. I want you to have a full understanding of everything that God has in store for you. And the only way to do that is when I share myself. The only way to do that, to get a bigger understanding of God, is when I apply my life outside of myself and help others experience the very same thing that's taken place in me. It's like a booster shot to our spiritual life. See, here's where the challenge comes in. For those of us who attend here, who've been partners here, who maybe have been around here for a bit of time, first of all, I just want you to know it's important that every single one of us are here. We're glad you're here. But if you've been here 5 times or 10 times or 18 times or half of a year, or maybe you've been here since Crosspoint began, here's what happens. You know where to park. You know the coffee's coming back and you know how good it is. You know how to register your kids for kids' environments and you know where your seat is or where you like to seat. But see, here's the thing. We walk in this place, if we've been here before, with blinders on. I say, here's what I want you to think about. Every weekend is somebody's first weekend here at Crosspoint. Every weekend, maybe online, is somebody's first time tuning in with us at Crosspoint. Maybe their first time in church. And we want to be on our game, because when they're coming, when you're coming, what are you looking for? You're looking for hope. And the question is, will they find it? Will they drive away and go, No, it's not happening there. See, what we're doing here, we're not growing a church. We're doing everything we can to create a place where you can belong, be a part of what God is doing. You might say, Kurt, I have a hard even into my faith. I'm still trying to figure out. That's all right. Jesus invites you in, and when you jump in, this is part of where you grow and you begin to experience and learn and see how Jesus works in your life and others. And all through that, he gives you a place to belong, a place to call home. And I just think for many of us, over the last 17 months, as we've gone through the pandemic, so many of our places of belonging have been interrupted, our places of engaging, of serving, they've been interrupted, and there's nothing we can do about that. It's just been the state, our whole world's been experiencing this, it hasn't been regional. But I think there's some of us that are starting, we have that feeling like, man, I'm longing for something more, and I don't know what to do. And I'm longing for something more. And some of you are here because you're at a different church. You're like, yeah, maybe I need to change churches, right? Because maybe I need, and some of you are here thinking, maybe I need to go somewhere else. Maybe what you need to do is say, okay, it's not just about what can I receive, but how can I take what I've been given and begin to exert that and apply that to help others experience it. So I want to give you an invitation this weekend to take a step to join in one of our teams here. And you may be sitting at home thinking, man, how do I do that from home? Well, if you're in the area, you can consider joining us at one of our weekend services and serving in one of our teams. And there's an online opportunity to host a service as well. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to take out your device if you don't still have it in your hand. And if you're currently serving on a volunteer here at Team at Crosspoint, you can go ahead and scroll to the bottom. There's a place for you to say, I'm going to continue doing that, or maybe you want to increase your serving. And you can then hit submit. So we have that, and we just thank you for that. You are a change maker, and we thank you for that. Now, if you're a guest with us this weekend and you're not ready to take a step of serving, you're just checking us out, we're glad you're here. Go ahead and scroll to the bottom, hit submit on this this form, and you can just kind of sit and observe this, and of course, you got free movie tickets coming your way. But if you're someone who you're like, man, I'm longing for that sense of belonging, I'm looking for the place to connect, I miss that sense of belonging. I feel like I've kind of lost a connection and I'm looking for more of God in my life. I'm telling you, it happens when you begin to pour out your life into others. And so I want you to kind of scroll through. Maybe you've never volunteered here before. Maybe you used to be engaged and you're no longer engaged. I want you to just scroll through some of the things you checkmarked. And I want you to just kind of ask God, okay, God, what's the one place where maybe you want me to engage? Or if you used to serve in a team here, where's that team at? And I want you to begin to uncheck the things that you don't want to try and leave the one or two things checked that you want to say, you know, I'll do a first serve in this area. And if you're wondering where that first serve would come, man, I'm always going to point you toward kids, because kids, if you marked anything in kids, that's one of the greatest needs, and it's where you can have one of the greatest impacts. So we're going to give you about 90 seconds. Brad's going to play here, and just give us some space to work through this, allow God to speak to us. And don't miss this moment. Don't miss this moment. I mean, go ahead and begin to take away some check marks so you're left with really, ideally, one spot. Then go to the bottom and pick a date where you can do a first serve. And if there's training involved, we'll come alongside, give you everything you need to fulfill this role. But don't miss this opportunity to belong. All right, so let's listen to God. And in fact, let me pray for us before we take this moment. God, thank you for this moment. Thank you for inviting us to be a part of what you're doing. Thank you for giving us a sense of belonging. Thank you for inviting us to have a space and feel like we're a part of something bigger than ourselves. We need that. We become focused so much on ourselves when we're not a part of something bigger. And so give us clarity in this moment on where that place is that we can engage. If we're feeling a longing to want more of you in our lives, more experience of your spirit in our lives, God, help us to see where we can plug in. We can be a part of a team, be a part of touching others' lives and helping others experience what I've experienced. And God, I know there's a darkness that wants to keep us just sitting right here and not moving in this moment. And so I just pray that you'd give us the courage, that your spirit, according to your character and your name, Jesus, would give us the power and the courage to take a step, to take a step into belonging, to take a step into a team. And we know when we do that, we become a part of what you're doing, God. And so we just pray these things according to your name. Amen. All right, so as Brad sings, just take a moment and identify that one place of all the places you've marked where you'd like to consider engaging, re-engage, or maybe serving for the first time.
You came and broke them down. You broke them down. There were chains around us. By your grace we are no longer bound. No longer bound. You called me out of the grave. You called me into the light. You called my name and then my heart came alive.
Right, this is why we do what we do here. This is because of what Christ has done for us. Because he poured himself out for us. He poured himself out for us so you could experience the fullness that he has for you. There's a great moment in this film, Snake Eyes, where G.I. Joe, as we know him, Scarlett, who's a representative of this international peacekeeping organization known as the G.I. Joe, she comes to him and she says to him, hey, your father, you need to know, your father, the intel he provided before he was assassinated, it saved thousands of lives. And he looked at her and he said, yeah, but you know what? It cost him his life. And she said, yeah, it did. It did. But that was the price that he was willing to pay not only to make our world a safer place, but a safer place for you, his son. See, here's the thing. Sacrifice always precedes a breakthrough. If we want to break through spiritually, we want to break through, go into a new place, experiencing God in fresh ways, it always requires a sacrifice to get there. And that's what Jesus did for us. One of my favorite pictures of this comes from something that happened at the Kennedy Honors back in 2009 when Bruce Springsteen was being inducted into this Kennedy Honors circle. And he was introduced by Jon Stewart, and as Jon Stewart was introducing the boss, he basically ended his introduction with these words. He said, "The power of Bruce Springsteen is that when I see him doing anything with his family and his work and everything he does, he empties the tank." He said, "Every single time, he empties the tank." See, God made you to empty yourself. And so many times, you know, I'll have conversations with people like, man, I just want more of God in my life. I want to be filled up. I want to experience more of him. I'm all right. That's awesome. That's always a good thing. But where are you emptying yourself? I mean, think about this. Think about this. You can't be filled up if you're never emptying yourself. I mean, so many times we just want more and more, but we don't want to empty ourselves out, so there's no room to be filled. And I'm telling you what, when that water is just sitting there and there's nothing flowing out of you, it's just sitting in there, guess what happens? It becomes stagnant. You know what happens with stagnant water? It begins to stink, right? It begins to stink, and our lives begin to stink. We begin to have a bad fragrance. Listen, I don't want that for you. God doesn't want it. He wants you to be a sweet fragrance, not only to him, but to the people around you. And it happens when we empty ourselves out. So don't miss this opportunity to belong, this opportunity to be a part of something where you're emptying yourself. But it requires sacrifice, but I'm telling you, if you're looking for a place to belong, it'll tie into what God's doing, something bigger. It'll give you a purpose, and you'll be amazed what you begin to experience in your life. All right, let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to give you some instructions at the end of the service on what to do with these cards, what to do with your online form here. And so we're going to sing one more song, the song we just heard about how God emptied himself out for us. And then we're going to get you out of here.